Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 17th October 2013 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Let us first offer our most loving and reverential salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we feel your presence in us, around us, with us, every single moment of our lives, whatever we do and wherever we are. With this prayer, let's begin a new episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And today, we will learn a bhajan which adores our beloved Bhagwan as the incarnation of the age, the Kali Yuga avatar. This bhajan is in the language Hindi and it has 8 lines in all. The first line goes like this.
Pannagashayana Kali avatara.
So this is what we will be learning today, and let's begin by getting familiar with the lyrics, and then, like in every episode of this program, we will move on to learning its tune, the raga, the beat, the meaning of its every word, and in the end, we will also listen to some members of the Prashanti Bhajan group sharing their experiences and the directions about bhajan singing that they have received from Bhagwan himself. So here are the lyrics to get started.
Pannaga Shayana Kali Avatara Narayana Hari Om Parama Niranjana Niraja Nayana Saishwaraya Hari Om Buddhi Pradayaka Papa Vinashaka Satya Sanatana Tuma Ho Dina Nath He Prabhu Parameshwara Karuna Sagara तुम हो.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Brother Anirudh will follow Ravi Kumar after every line, and when he does that, dear listeners, please do join Anirudh and sing so that you get a feel of how this bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale F sharp pancham. Pannagashayana Kali Avatara.
Pannagashayana Kali Avatara.
Pannagashayana Kali Avatara.
Pannagashayana Kali Avatara.
Narayana Hari Om.
Narayana Hari Om.
Narayana Hari Om. Nirajanayana
Parama Niranjana Nirajanayana
പരമ നിരഞ്ജന നീരജനയന
പരമ നിരഞ്ജന നീരജനയന
സായീശ്വരായ ഹരിയോം
സായീശ്വരായ ഹരിയോം
സത്യ സായീശ്വരായ ഹരിയോം
സത്യ സായീശ്വരായ ഹരിയോം
ബുദ്ധി പ്രദായക പാപ വിനാശക
ബുദ്ധി പ്രദായക പാപ വിനാശക
ബുദ്ധി പ്രദായക പാപ വിനാശക
ബുദ്ധി പ്രദായക പാപ വിനാശക
സത്യ സനാതന തുമ
സത്യ സനാതന തുമ
സത്യ സനാതന തുമ
സത്യ സനാതന തുമ
ദീനാനാഥ ഹേ പ്രഭു പരമേശ്വര
ദീനാനാഥ ഹേ പ്രഭു പരമേശ്വര
ദീനാനാഥ ഹേ പ്രഭു പരമേശ്വര
ദീനാനാഥ ഹേ പ്രഭു പരമേശ്വര
കരുണാസാഗര തുമ ഹോ
കരുണാസാഗര തുമ ഹോ
കരുണാസാഗര തുമ ഹോ
കരുണാസാഗര തുമ
പന്നഗ ശയന കലി അവതാര
സോ ദാറ്റ് വാസ് ദ ട്യൂൺ ഓഫ് ദിസ് ഭജൻ ഇൻ ദ വോയിസസ് ഓഫ് രവികുമാർ ആൻഡ് അനിരുദ്ധ്. And now let's move on in this bhajan classroom and learn a little more about the composition of this bhajan. Anirudh is here with us in the studios. Please tell us, Anirudh, in which raga is this bhajan based?
Saram Bishu, this bhajan Pannaga Shayana, very beautiful bhajan. It is largely based on the rag Kirvani, I guess.
Kirvani.
It is a mixture of, I think, two or three ragas.
Okay.
But basically the notes on which the bhajan flows along is Kirvani.
Okay.
And here and there in few lines,
okay,
maybe it just deviates from the Kirvani rag.
Okay.
So let me just tell the Kirvani rag to you.
Sure.
The notes of Kirvani raga.
Yeah.
Sa re ga ma pa dha ni sa sa ni dha pa ma ga re sa.
It has sa re re shuddh
ga
ga is komal minor ga
ma pa dha
dha is komal dha
ni
ni shuddh ni
sa sa ni dha pa ma ga re sa ni dha da ni sa.
It is also similar to a rag called Kalyana Vasantam.
Okay.
In that raga where you have in the Arohana,
sa ga ma dha ni sa,
and while coming down,
sa ni dha ba ma ga ri sa.
Okay. So in Aro you don't have the re.
Yeah.
Sa re ga ma pa dha ni sa
is Kirvani.
Kirvani.
Sa ga ma dha ni sa
is Kalyana Vasantam.
Okay.
Where the Avarohana is same for both the ragas.
Oh, okay. So maybe you can give us a very short demo of the Kevani rag.
Sure.
Na 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 na.
That comes to mind is it was very soul filling.
I think it can be taken as a very sad kind of raga where you have all the notes like
easy
last
to
time.
Express pathos.
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. So can we go on now with the bhajan, Anirudh?
Sure.
Yeah, if you can do the swaras for every line, and brother Vinay Vallabh is here, we'll follow the swaras as you sing every line.
Definitely.
पन्नग शयना कली अवतारा सग गधाधार पद पग पापा
सग गधाधार पद पग पापा
नारायण हरि गगने सरे
नी गगने सरे
परम निरंजन नीरजनयना निसगरे गगग पगसने ने
निसगर गगग पगसने ने
साईश्वराय हरि ओम मामा गरे रे गरे सा
मामा गरे रे गरे सा
बुद्धि प्रदायक पाप विनाशक गगरे गगग पगरे सरे रे
गगरे गगग पगरे सरे रे
सत्य सनातन तुम हो मम मम पद पग ग पापा
मम मम पद पग ग पापा
दीनानाथ है प्रभु परमेश्वर मपनी नी papa ma pa ga
ma pa ni 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 sa ni papa ma pa ga
karuna sagar tum ho re 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 ga sa sa re sa
re 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 ga sa sa re sa.
Okay, I think that gives us a good clue about the swaras in this bhajan. And you were saying, Anirudh, that at some places, you know, it deviates from kirtan. If you can show those areas.
Yeah, in the second line,
Narayana Hari Om,
you have both the knees.
Ni ga 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 ni sari ni sari.
Okay.
So there is one deviation.
Yes, the Komal ni also comes.
Yeah. And also, in the last two lines,
Dinanath hai Prabhu Parameshwar Karuna Sagar Tum Ho.
In these two lines also, the feel is like Rag Patudhip.
Sarigama Padhani Sarama Paga.
This is how the flow of the line goes in the raga. But otherwise it is largely based on...
Yes. And we have three bhajans in Kirvani.
Yes, we have...
Jaya Kailash Pade Shiva Shankar.
And then...
Pandhari Nivasa He Panduranga.
Can we go on to the beat of this bhajan?
Sure. The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat.
Okay.
Aditalam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Anirudh and Brother Vinay Vallabh.
Thank you, Vishu.
Thank you, Vishu.
Saram.
Saram.
Now that we know the lyrics, the tune, the raga and tala, let's get into one of the most significant parts of bhajan singing, which is bhava, or the feeling with which we must sing every bhajan. Baba has always stressed that the feeling with which we sing the bhajan is more important than the technicalities. And to imbibe the bhava, we must understand the meaning of every word in the bhajan. Let's start with the first line.
Pannaga Shayana Kali Avatara.
The first word is Pannaga, which means snake. The second word is Shayana, which means to recline on. When Baba was born on November 23, 1926, his grandmother placed the baby on a mat covered with a thick bedspread in a corner of the room. Suddenly, the woman observed the bedspread rising up and falling down on either side of the baby, and when they lifted the baby and the mat, they found a serpent coiled beneath. This was in fact the very first miracle in the Satya Sai Avatar's life. The Lord revealing that He is indeed Vishnu, the one who reclines on the celestial snake Adishesha. Now, what is the significance of the Lord lying on a serpent? The serpent is indeed one of the most dangerous reptiles and sometimes can even strike unprovoked. But why is the serpent associated with the Lord? The serpent, in fact, is symbolic of our senses. Senses which are extremely powerful and can drive an individual crazy in this world. But the Lord is one who is the master of these senses. In front of the Lord, the senses become powerless. They in fact become servants of the Lord. The serpent is also used to represent our Kundalini Shakti, the tremendous inherent spiritual power packed within one's being, which can be aroused through intense spiritual practices. And when utilized properly, this can lead us to divinity and divine bliss. The snake, therefore, is very symbolic and is associated with Lord Shiva. There is a snake round his neck. Lord Ganesha has a snake as his belt and so on. Therefore, in the imagery of the divine, the snake is very much a part, and therefore it is not surprising to have a snake associated with Lord Sai Shiva too. Moving on, the third word is Kali, referring to the Kali age. Every era or span of time is called Yuga. Explaining the concept of Yuga during the summer course of 1978, Baba said, the great sages in ancient India divided time into four Yugas called Krita Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Trita Yuga and Kali Yuga. According to them, 4,32,000 years is the basic unit of time and that represents the number of years in a Kali Yuga. Two times this, that is 8,64,000 years, represent the Dwapara Yuga. Three times Kali Yuga is the measure of Treta Yuga and four times Kali Yuga is the count of years for Krita Yuga. And by adding all these, we get this astronomical number, 43,20,000 years, and that the sages referred to as a Mahayuga, and they said after a Mahayuga, Krita Yuga will start again. While this might be how they put some numbers to these yugas, Baba in his Dharma Vahini gives another interpretation. He says the yugas are classified on the basis of the dominant mental role. In the age of truth or Krita Yuga, it is said that dharma or righteousness walked about on four legs. It was happy and safe. In the second age or Trita Yuga, dharma had only three legs, while in the third age, in the Dwapara Yuga, it had to totter about on just two. And in the present Kali age, righteousness has only one leg. This is according to one tradition. And the four legs of dharma are truth, compassion, austerity and giving, satya, daya, tapas and dana. And Baba went on to add, so if a person has all these four, he can be said to be in the Krita Yuga, in the golden age, does not matter whatever the age in the calendar. Similarly, if truth and compassion are absent in one's personality, but tapas and dana, austerity and the habit of giving persist, one is in the Dwapara Yuga. If only giving remains out of the four, it is as if dharma is standing on one leg. The person who observes this habit of giving, in spite of everything else having disappeared from his personality, if this nature of giving persists, he is in the Kali Yuga, even if it is chronologically the Krita Yuga. And Baba goes on to explain, the yugas change only with the change in dharma, not with the mere passage of time. The wicked Hiranyakashipu and the pure-hearted Prahlada, both of them lived in the same chronological yuga. In the same yuga, again, you had Dharmaja, the personification of righteousness and peace, as well as epitome of wickedness, Duryodhana. So dharma is what makes the yuga for each. Baba explained, one can be in the golden age, in the Krita Yuga, if only one has all the four qualities of dharma. That is, if one has truth, compassion, austerity and giving, one is in the golden age. The conduct of man makes and mars history and changes the golden age to the iron age or Kali Yuga. Or vice versa, you can change the Kali Yuga into Krita Yuga, the golden age, only by changing our conduct. The last word in this line is Avatara, meaning incarnation of God in human form. Why does the Supreme Lord descend in human form? Why does He take an avatar? It is for the sole purpose of elevating humanity to divine heights. So in this line, Pannaga Shayana Kali Avatara, we adore the Lord who rests on the divine serpent Adishesha, the master of our senses, the one who came down to earth in a human form to redeem humanity. Let's move on to the second line.
Narayana Hari Om.
The first word here is Narayana, referring to Lord Vishnu, the second in the Holy Trinity of Gods according to ancient Indian culture and spirituality. Narayana is actually the conjunction of two words, Nara and Ayana. Nara in Sanskrit means water and Ayana refers to a resting place. So this means Narayana is one whose resting place is water or the ocean. In fact, Lord Vishnu, who is adored as the sustainer of this universe, is often depicted as the one reclining on the ocean of milk. But that is the superficial meaning of this term, Narayana. The word Nara can be further interpreted as Na-Ra. Ra means to perish and Na means no. So Nara means that which does not perish. And this refers to the Jivatmas or the living entities or the individual souls, because the soul never dies, it only moves on. So in this sense, Narayana means whose ayana or whose resting place is in all Naras or living entities. To put it differently, Narayana is one who abides in every being. He is the all-pervasive Lord. The Vedas declare Antarbahischa Tatsarvam Vyapya Narayana Stitaha. That is, Narayana is present inside, outside, everywhere. The second word is Hari, which is another name of Lord Narayana. Baba says that Hari means the remover or destroyer, since he destroys hurdles on the path to sadhana. The third word is Om, referring to the primordial sound from which entire cosmos emerged. Baba says Om is verily the name of God. He says the basis for the acceptance of God as the eternal being is his indestructibility. Aksharatva or indestructibility is the form of God, and for this indestructible God, Om is the name. Therefore in this line, Narayana Hari Om, we bow before the Supreme Lord who resides in all beings. He is the one who eliminates hurdles on our spiritual path and is also the indestructible primordial one. Let's move on to the third line.
Paramanirajana Nirajanayana.
Here the first word is Parama, meaning highest or supreme. The second word is Niranjana, meaning blemishless, coming from Nir, meaning no, and Anjana, which means blemish. So Niranjana means one who is blemishless. The third word is Niraja, which can be split as Nira, meaning water, and Ja means to be born. So this refers to that which is born in water, and generally this word is associated with the lotus flower which germinates and blossoms in water. Nayana means eye. So Niraja Nayana refers to the Lord whose eyes are like the lotus flower. Now why is the Lord described as lotus-eyed? Baba says that the lotus which is born in mud and stays deep down in mud comes up to the light but cannot stay without water, because it would die if there is no water. However, it does not get mixed up with the mud or water. Even if water comes onto the lotus flower, it just rolls off. That is why God is always described as having lotus eyes, lotus feet and so on. Whenever God incarnates in human form, he too is born in this world and lives in this world. He acts and moves like any of us, but he is ever blissful. He is not affected in the least by the environment that he is in, just like the lotus that is born and grows in the slush but is unattached to it. So that is the inner meaning of the phrase Nirajanayana. So in this line, Parama Niranjana Nirajanayana, we hail the Lord as the Supreme One who is absolutely, spotlessly clean, blemishless. He is the lotus-eyed Lord who is ever blissful, unaffected, unattached to the world in which he takes a human form as an avatar. Let's move on to the next line.
Saishwaraya Hari Om.
Here the first word is Saishwaraya, coming from Sai and Ishwara. Sa in Sai stands for divine and I means mother. So literally Sai means the divine mother. But that, however, is one of the many splendid meanings of this sacred sound, Sai. In one discourse delivered on February 26, 1961, Swami explained that Sai signifies Sahasra Padma, or a 1,000 lotuses and Sakshatkara, which means realization. So Sai is the one who represents 1,000 lotuses, and that is what is referred to as the culmination point of the Kundalini Shakti, the Sahasrara Chakra, the final ultimate bliss that one experiences in one's spiritual sadhana. Sai represents that ultimate goal of all spiritual efforts. And Ishvara means Lord. So that is Sai Ishvara. And the other two words here are Hari and Om, which we already discussed. Let's delve a little more into the meaning of these words, Hari and Om. Hari also means one who is green in color because of the root word Hara, which means green. The inner meaning of adoring the Lord as the green complexion one is that the sight of green gives a feeling of peace to the mind. Similarly, the thought of Hari, the green-hued one, gives peace to the mind. Coming to the word Om, in his birthday discourse of 1966, Bhagwan explained Om as the sound of the movement of the stars in the firmament. It is the sound that manifested when the dawn of creative will stirred the Nirakara or the attributeless into activity, into creation. As a matter of fact, every little disturbance of equilibrium produces sound, however minute. The meeting of the eyelids, for example, results in sound, however faint it might be. There are infinitesimally faint sounds which no ear can hear. This whole universe is pervaded with sounds. When the elements originated and creation happened, the sound that was produced was Om. Om is that primeval one. There is a beautiful incident narrated by Brother Ravi Teja, an alumnus of Bhagwan's university, who has been blessed to play the flute as part of the music group on countless occasions in the Divine Presence in Prashanthi Nilayam. Once when it was time for the bhajans to begin, Swami was standing at the entrance of the bhajan hall, and all the boys sincerely shut their eyes to chant Omkaram 3 times. Swami slowly bent over to Brother Ravi's ear and softly whispered, "Here is the very embodiment of Omkara standing in front of you, and what a shame all of you are shutting off your eyes on me and singing Omkaram." So that was quite a revelation. So in this line, Sai Ishwaraya Hari Om, we extol Lord Sai who confers on us peace. The embodiment of 1,000 lotuses, the Divine Mother, the remover of all obstacles, the very embodiment of the primordial sound, Om. Let's move on to the 5th line.
Buddhi pradayaka papa vinashaka.
The first word here is buddhi, meaning discrimination. The second word is pradayaka, meaning to grant. The third word is papa, meaning sin. And the fourth word is vinashaka, which means to destroy. So in this line, buddhi pradayaka, papa vinashaka, we bow reverentially to the Lord who alone can confer on us that discrimination, that higher intelligence, and help us destroy our sins. Let's move on to the 6th line.
Satya sanatana tum ho.
Here the first word is Satya, meaning truth. The second word is Sanatana, that is timeless and eternal. Baba once declared, "I am Satyasya Satyam. I am the truth of truths. Why has truth come on earth in human form?" Baba said, "The answer is to plant in the heart of man the yearning for truth, to place man on the road to truth, to help man to reach truth. And how? By loving instruction and by the final gift of illumination." That is the Satya Sai avatar. The third word is Tuma, meaning you, and the fourth word is Ho, meaning R. Thus in this line, Satya Sanatana Tumaho, we lovingly salute that timeless truth that embodied itself in the form of Satya Sai. Let's move on to the penultimate line.
Dinanath hai prabhu. प्रभु परमेश्वर.
द फर्स्ट वर्ड हियर इज दीनानाथ, कमिंग फ्रॉम दीना, रेफरिंग टू दोज हु आर वीक एंड फोरलॉन. नाथ रेफर्स टू लॉर्ड और मास्टर. द सेकेंड वर्ड इज हे, विच इज अ टर्म यूज्ड टू एंड्यूरिंगली कॉल आउट टू समवन. द थर्ड वर्ड इज प्रभु, विच अगेन मीन्स लॉर्ड और मास्टर. द फोर्थ वर्ड इज परमेश्वर, कमिंग फ्रॉम परम मीनिंग हाइएस्ट एंड ईश्वर विच मीन्स लॉर्ड. सो इन दिस लाइन दीनानाथ है प्रभु परमेश्वर. वी कॉल आउट टू द सुप्रीम बींग हु इज द लॉर्ड ऑफ ऑल दोज हु आर डिस्ट्रेस्ड एंड ऑप्रेस्ड. ही इज द अल्टीमेट सेवियर. लेट्स मूव ऑन टू द लास्ट लाइन.
करुणा सागर तुम हो,
द फर्स्ट वर्ड हियर इज करुणा मीनिंग कंपैशन एंड द सेकेंड वर्ड इज सागर मीनिंग ओशन. देयरफॉर करुणा सागर तुम हो, वी ग्लोरीफाई द लॉर्ड एज द वन हु इज द माइटी ओशन ऑफ लव, द इन्फिनिट रिजर्वॉयर ऑफ कंपैशन. With that, dear listeners, we are done with understanding the meaning of every word of this bhajan, at least to a little extent. Let's listen now to the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashant Nilay Mandir. And as you listen, please do join and sing along.
Thank you. And now in the last part of this program, let's listen to an excerpt of a presentation made during the National Bhajan Workshop held in Bangalore in Bhagwan's ashram in Vrindavan in June 2013. Three brothers, Ravi Kumar, Amay and Siddhartha, made this presentation.
According to a bhajan, what the speed at which it is meant to be sung. Again, there are slow bhajans which percussion section cannot run away with it. So, we have something like Shesha Sailavasa Narayana. It has a particular pace it has to be sung. Bhakta Parijata Narayana. If you are speeding up, you'll end up with Bhakta Parijata Naraya. It sounds more like commotion rather than a prayer to, and you know, the word Narayana loses its sweetness.
Ravi sir, I have a doubt while we're talking about slow bhajans and bhajans which are meant to be fast. There are some bhajans which are composed to be sung fast. Now, in those bhajans also have these variations. Now, how do you manage it in the second speed? Because already it's a fast bhajan. We sing it towards the end. For example, Jaya Jaga Janati Ma. We tend to sing it towards the end. Jaya Ma. That variation, how do you give it to the second speed?
Yes, that is very important. See, first speed, because it is slow enough, we are able to sing Jaya Ma. We are able to give that. But if the speed doubles, that particular curves per second is going to go for a toss. So, we have to keep it simple in the second speed. Jaya Ma, Jaya Ma, Jaya Ma. We are not trying to Ma. It's too many things put into a shot. So, it loses its sweetness.
There's one more type of bhajans which in the second speed, during the course of the second speed itself, it picks up speed. It picks up like, for example, Sadguru Brahma. Sai Krishna Janadhana He, Janadhana He, Janadhana He, Janadhana He, Sai Krishna. Then the last line.
Correct.
Then little
yeah, we are in trouble again in the last line. Because towards the end of the second speed itself, we are speeding up. This is not a third speed bhajan. This in the second speed itself towards the end. Sai Krishna Janadhana He. If you speed up too much, then the last line. Bhava Bhaya Jaladi Tarana. This we will not be able to give if you speed up too much.
So even Bhava Bhaya Jaladi Tarana. You will have to give this part. You know, it becomes more like you are giving a taan over there. You know.
Yeah. So maintain moderation in this. Even though we speed up, we maintain moderation in that.
So that you are able to complete the bhajan properly.
Yes.
So that was an excerpt from the National Bhajan Workshop held in Vrindavan Ashram in June 2013, and with that we have reached the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed it. Please do email your feedback on this program. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background music was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. We place this humble offering at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan and thank him for using us as his instruments to share his love and his glory.
You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on 17th October 2013 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthinilayam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.